From NPR News in Washington, I'm Paul Brown. President Obama heads to Racine, Wisconsin today, where he will promote the idea that the economy is slowly recovering. Ahead of the trip, he also acknowledges that jobs are not coming back quickly enough.
We've got to continually push the pace of economic growth in order to put people back to work.
Stocks are down worldwide on a variety of negative economic news, including lower consumer confidence in the U.S. Forecasters think Hurricane Alex will come ashore along the Texas and Mexico coast this evening, and Robbie Berg of the National Hurricane Center says Alex is picking up power.
We do expect that Alex will intensify over the next 24 hours. It does have still some time over the warm water. Once it moves inland, it will begin to weaken. But at this point, we do think that it still has a chance to intensify. Our current forecast keeps it as a Category 1 storm, but there is potential for it to strengthen a little bit more than that.
The hurricane is creating large waves along the Gulf Coast and pushing more oil to the shoreline from the Gulf oil spill. NPR's Jeff Brady is in Port Fourchon, Louisiana, where he says crews are cleaning one beach for the second time this month.
Typically, the waves here are only about a foot high, but now, because of the storm, they're reaching 10 to 15 feet high before they break. U.S. Coast Guard Ensign Cameron Cooper says for the past couple of weeks, no oil had washed up on this beach, and workers were on the verge of having everything cleaned up.
But just within the past 48 hours, the oil's hit us again, and so we're going to be playing catch-up for the next week or so, getting all the oil off and cleaning the sand and getting rid of all the tar balls.
The high waves are causing problems in other areas along the coast as well. The Coast Guard says all oil skimming efforts off the Louisiana shore have been halted for now. Farther inland, local officials are worried the weather could make it difficult to keep oil out of Lake Pontchartrain. Jeff Brady, NPR News, Port Fourchon, Louisiana.
It's day three of confirmation hearings for Supreme Court nominee Elena Kagan. The hearing has been mostly uneventful so far. Democrats are nearly certain they have the votes to approve Kagan. NPR's Nina Totenberg has some insights into what's likely to happen today.
Day one was opening statements from the committee members and the nominee. On day two, Kagan answered questions for well over 8 hours. Today, there will be more of that, but with a different twist. At midday, the committee will hold a behind-closed-doors session to discuss any questions senators want to ask Kagan related to her FBI file. In addition, senators may want to ask questions about 1,200 pages of documents from the Clinton Library that President Clinton allowed senators to see, but that he withheld from public view, mainly to protect the privacy of those involved. After that, the committee will return to the public grilling. Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.
Oil prices are following stock prices down today overseas. This is NPR News. Benigno Aquino has taken the oath of office, and he's now the president of the Philippines. Simone Orendain is in Manila and has this report on the swearing-in, including Aquino's tribute to his parents, who helped to lead the Philippines out of dictatorship.
At high noon on a muggy day along Manila Bay, a Supreme Court justice swore in Aquino before about 500,000 spectators. Aquino is the son of the slain opposition leader who challenged Ferdinand Marcos in the 1970s, and his mother was president in the late 80s. He paid tribute to his parents during a speech delivered in mostly Tagalog with some English.
My parents sought nothing less and died for nothing less than democracy, peace, and prosperity. I am blessed by this legacy.
In a first for any president to be sworn in, ordinary Filipinos pledged their oath to the new administration. Event organizers say this will carry on the movement that started with his father's death, called People Power, in which the masses helped topple the Marcos government. For NPR News, I'm Simone Orendain in Manila.
House Democratic leaders are loading up a war funding bill with unrelated items, trying to make it palatable to some of their fellow Democrats despite increased worries over the conduct of the Afghanistan war. The Senate has already passed a version of the bill, and House leaders are adding money to help local school districts. The bill contains tens of billions of dollars for the troop surge in Afghanistan, and it also has money for foreign aid and disability benefits for Vietnam veterans who were exposed to Agent Orange. Democratic leaders are hoping for swift passage. I'm Paul Brown, NPR News, Washington.